Jason Wilde on Jim, Matt, and Molly is brought to you by News 3 Now. Jason Wilde, the best green and gold coverage from the best in the business.
Jason, can I ask of you?
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Yeah. This has been the best segment I've ever done on this show, and I've really done very little.
Molly said it best. I said fart in the bathtub. She said gross.
I love Matt Hamilton.
You are 1,000,000% right, Jim. That should be a drop, too.
Thank you.
Dynamite drop in, my guy.
Thank you.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly. Oh, snap. What's up with
that? Jason Wilde joins us now on the Yuengling Guest Hotline. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America and now officially in Wisconsin. D.G. Yuengling and Son, Pottsville, PA, enjoy responsibly. And Jason, what have you, like, are the Packers going to the Super Bowl? What have you learned in a couple days of of watching, I don't know if this is voluntary OTA, whatever this is going on right now in the NFL? What have you learned? Are they Super Bowl bound?
Nothing. And I've only seen one practice. And I didn't get to go in the locker room, as you guys know.
Yep.
So I don't really know anything. Hey, because you're a multi-talented guy, right? You obviously host radio programs. You host digital-only YouTube programs. You're also a marketing consultant. Like, you've got a number of hats that you wear. Do you take requests for potential partnerships?
Of course. It's my favorite. Who are you looking for? I gotcha.
So
the referral,
so
Jason.
I'm going to give them free advertising. Tausch would yell at me for it.
Okay.
But maybe it'll lead to
real
advertising.
But then I'll send it over to them. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So Paul and the girls went on vacation to Florida in March.
Mm-hmm.
And they discovered a place called Crisp and Greens in Florida.
Okay.
And once they discovered it, they ate there every single day.
Okay.
And on top of that, Sydney, who the polite way to say this would be, Sydney has a dietary preference similar to her father's. She likes ice cream. Luckily, she's a fantastic athlete, so she burns it while I store it, right? But she is now because of Crisp and Greens, she is a huge fan of salad. Like, so she's totally into it now, right? And so Crisp and Greens has two Wisconsin locations.
That's what Molly just told me.
Neither of them are in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. One is in Hudson, which might as well be in the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
And the other one is in Madison, on the west side.
Mm-hmm. I just drove past it today.
Yeah, it was apparently closer than we ate.
Yeah, so we did the show today from University Ridge. And once Paul and the girls found out earlier this week that I was going to go to Madison and discovered that was the only location for Crisp and Greens, I was dispatched with two coolers and to bring them their dinner back from Madison from Crisp and Greens. And I want to shout out the team over there. Like, some wackadoodle walks in carrying a cooler and says, "Hey, this is going to sound crazy, but my wife and daughters love you guys, and we don't have one in Green Bay, so I need..." Paul placed an order on the app, and I'm like, "Look, I need to get this back to Green Bay and have it be, well, frankly, crisp and green and cold still." And the team was awesome. Like, they packed my cooler with ice. Then they realized that the salads weren't all going to fit in the one cooler, so I went and got a second cooler from the car. Like,
You have in your car.
Right.
Well, I brought Matt, in fairness to me, I don't drive with them. I brought them both for this purpose, and I thought I better bring a backup because this is so important to them. Like, the level of importance to them for this was off the charts.
Wait, this place looks incredible, though. Like, do you remember what their orders were? Because now I'm curious. Because I'm looking at their menu.
I do. I have a screenshot of it. I can share that with you later.
Perfect.
But they packed it up. I drive back, wave to our teammates in Beaver Dam instead of stopping and saying hi to Ashley and Wally, because I had salads to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
Stopped in Rosendale, got some extra ice.
Didn't get pulled over?
Poured that into the coolers,
He was stopped in Rosendale.
No, I was not pulled over. I stopped at the gas station there. Got ice, and then they just got done eating, and it worked out great. So, of course, we are back at TPC Wisconsin next Friday for the AmFam Championship. So I've already gotten assigned picking it up again But, you know, if they'd like to consider advertising, I can think of a few people that would be happy to be endorsers.
Well, we will now on with make the that show. Call. All right.
I might visit there tomorrow.
Speaking of green, the Packers were green.
And gold.
Ooh, what a professional segue. No, I think he meant green like some young players, right? Or just they wear green.
No, he meant the colors.
Well, they're green.
Apparently they like green and gold.
Jim.
There's no gold. There's no gold in a salad.
Jim, okay.
Chris, yellow tomatoes.
Actually, I'm looking at the ceviche zest, and it literally has like corn on it. Looks pretty good.
I see. We're on to something. Mm-hmm. Anyway, go ahead.
I think they owe us money now.
They definitely do.
Exactly. Or at least a free salad.
Right? Yeah. So, anything stand out to you? Because see videos posted all over the internet of different teams, different guys making plays, and everyone is like, well, now we're going to be good. Or this is also the time of year, Jason, where the death knell sentence that I've come up with that I am worried about any player is when they say best shape of their life. You might as well say he's going to be cut pretty soon.
And also, who's that going to be?
Like Amari Rodgers. Best shape of his life.
So it's funny that you say that because Chewy, that was his one question, I think it was yesterday. So who's in the best shape of their life? Because you guys are right. Right? Now, in fairness, one of the things that I look for when I go to the off-season practices is who looks different, right? Good or bad, right? Like this guy, this guy spend the whole time instead of crisp and greens, was he too busy eating a Dairy Queen instead or what? Like guys that come back heavier. I thought Jordan Morgan looked bigger, but in a good way, not like a heftier way. But again, like, and I love Joe Thomas, but he was on our show last week because he had come up to Green Bay for a day and spent some time with the coaches and spent time with Jordan Morgan, and he admitted that he's blocking managers holding bags, but he delivered some pretty rave reviews of Jordan Morgan, and I hope he's right for Packers fans' sake. That he is going to be the real deal, because if he isn't, I think they're cooked. And we had Travis Frederick on the show today too, and we were talking to him about playing center. Like, just because they paid Sean Ryan to play center doesn't mean he's going to be a great center, right? So there were no takeaways from watching 11-on-11 with the offensive linemen. What I would say is one of the guys that looks like he would be a candidate for the best shape of his life is Carrington Valentine. He looked even bigger to me. Like every year, this is his fourth season, and he came in as a kind of a scrawny college guy, right? He played at Kentucky. He was a good cover guy, went seventh round. We didn't know what to expect of him, but he had a rookie camp that I would compare not to the same degree, but to a similar type of impact or wow type stuff to Tremont Williams in 2007, where you were like, whoa, wait a minute here. Who is this guy? And there could be something here. And I think while Carrington has certainly had some tackling issues, I think he's played pretty good. I mean, his rookie year, I think he played like 13 or 14 games. He started. That was the first year that, Jair Alexander started having injury problems. So, he looked the part. He looked bigger, stronger. He still has to tackle properly. The fact that Keyshawn Nixon continues to be there is of note to me, right? I mean, again, however Packers fans feel about him, they're going to have their first, they're going to have their number one corner playing for $4 million this year. It's a pretty good bargain, even if you don't like him.
Yeah.
But I would say the biggest takeaway I had, because I wasn't expecting this, was I was standing on the sideline and Tucker Kraft got done with his rehab and came over and was talking with myself and John Miller, who's a TV guy here for NBC, the NBC affiliate in Green Bay. And he stood and talked to us for like 10 minutes, and none of it was on the record. But he's in a great mood. He feels really good physically. And, Matt LaFleur had that quote earlier in the day about how, it's hard not to put him out there right now because he looks like he could be out there. And I don't think he thinks necessarily that, he should be going out there and running routes, but he had done his rehab. He was dripping sweat. He looked like the Tucker that we're all used to seeing. And, I even had kind of said to him, well, that's good because, and this is my stat that I love to give. Tucker Kraft missed the second half of the season. He missed, what, 8-9 games? He finished the season having played 428 snaps. Luke Musgrave played all 17 games and obviously would have been in line for a much larger role after Tucker went down. He finished the season having played in all 17 games and played 417 snaps.
Yeah,
so they're gonna lean on Tucker Kraft. So they need him to be tip top, and I think he's starting to look very much that way.
I guess I don't know how OTAs necessarily run slash work, but like, has Jonathan Gannon been on the sideline? And like, if so, what is his kind of coaching style looked like?
They're basically regular practices without pads. Like they're you know, obviously we have a handful, not nearly as many as we used to, of practices in pads during training camp. That obviously they're not in pads during the off season. They're in helmets, jerseys, and shorts. But otherwise, it's a pretty traditional practice. So yeah, he's calling the defense. He's got a little walkie-talkie. You know, he's not super demonstrative, at least in the one practice. That's the other thing I hate about OTAs is that there's 9 practices usually, and back in the good old days, we went to all 9, and so you know, to go to 1 out of every 3 is what they're required to open to the media. And what always bothered me about that, and I'm using Jonathan Gannon as an example, he could have been much more demonstrative the other 2 days they had OTAs this week, and I just didn't see it because I wasn't there. But my biggest pet peeve is when, like, we're all going to make judgments, good, bad, or indifferent, on what we see at the one practice we're at. Well, let's say this young draft pick out of Quebec University, Matt Hamilton, is a really good cover guy, and he practices well on Tuesday, and he practices well on Friday, but on Wednesday when Wilde and all these other guys are there, he sucks. Well, are we painting an accurate picture of Matt Hamilton if we're only there for the one practice where he sucked, right? So, again, I want to caution people not just from what I say on this show or other shows, but also what you read and what you see on Twitter and everything else. It is not a complete picture. And at least during training camp, we're there for every practice, and you can at least start to formulate some more knowledgeable, more insightful views of the players that we're watching.
Jason, with this Josh Jacobs thing still under review and being investigated, have you heard any rumors or scuttlebutt about what the Packers might be doing at the running back position going forward here, whether that's protecting their butt or are they just waiting and seeing at this point?
Yeah, I think, well, Matt, we're going to let the process play out.
Right.
And I'm going to refer to our statement from earlier. Look, this is, I in no way want to be construed as making light of the situation because I'm definitely not. Being a little sarcastic about Matt LaFleur's approach because he was also kind of awkward about it, right? Like these like nervous laughs when he would say that. With all due, you know, respectfully, Bill, I'm not going to answer that. Like you've got to be careful with your affect there, right? But I would say this. We don't know how this is going to play out. And to like go out and trade for James Conner today, probably not a great idea, right? Because we honestly... I think this is important, and again, I'm not being dismissive of the seriousness of the allegations, but in the statement from the Brown County District Attorney's Office, it did say that they wanted to do further investigation to determine whether charges would be pursued. Whether. Okay? And then the next part of it was, and if so, which charges would be pursued, right? Something to that effect. That at least opens the door for the possibility. And again, I was not there. I don't know what happened. I am not in any way justifying the behavior that may have occurred allegedly with Josh Jacobs and his accuser. But that at least opens the door for them saying that there may not be charges at all, right? I'm not saying there should or shouldn't be. I'm just saying that choice of words in that statement, and I would assume lawyers are pretty particular about word choice, opens the door for at least the possibility that maybe this will be something that is not charged at all when it comes down to it. And if that's the case, you know, he is still subject potentially to some sort of discipline from the league, but I don't think you should rush out and give up a fifth-round pick to go acquire somebody's running back right now. Like, I had somebody ask me, well, you know, do you throw the Seahawks a fifth-round pick to bring back Emmanuel Wilson? But there's a good chance. I mean, they drafted a running back in the first round, didn't they, with the last pick of the draft or the first round?
Yep.
Like, Emmanuel Wilson may end up getting cut anyway. So I don't think we're at a point now where they have to go add someone. I would say this, and I've said this to other on other shows too, like, I didn't like their running back backup options before this happened. So now I really don't like them. And, you know, again, we talked to Matt LaFleur before practice, not after, but Marshawn Lloyd wasn't doing team drills. Now, I saw him do other drills, but, like, is that just being careful with him, given his track record? Or does he already have something that's nagging him that he wasn't able to do 11-on-11? I don't know. We'll find out next week when we go to another practice and we see what he's doing. But I think it would be prudent to wait and see in terms of adding someone to your roster at that position.
Jason, we don't have to specifically talk about, you know, the Giants and everything going on with them with Jackson Dart and Abdul Carter, but how is it that teams handle, because it does put a spotlight, which a lot of, like, you would know and people around the league would know, that NFL locker rooms, common sense would tell you that they are not one political party that they all like or dislike. And so there is something that needs to be kind of handled, whether it's, you know, I'm sure over time, religion, politics. Obviously, we've talked before about sexual orientation. Like, how is that stuff navigated within a locker room when there are so many different people from so many different backgrounds? Like, how do they navigate that all together to kind of stay cohesive as a team?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and obviously I watched Jackson Dart's statement. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a tough deal for him, right? Like, look, if he's a Donald Trump supporter, I get it, right? That's how he feels. Mm-hmm. I don't agree, but I get it, right? The problem is, and this is where I think is maybe was missed, because I saw people tweeting out, well, look, here's Chris Paul introducing Barack Obama. And again, I am not in any way interested in losing readers or listeners by talking politics. I'm just not interested in that. What I would say is that this would be, you know, this is an the level of divisiveness between supporters of the current president and non-supporters is, there's a pretty wide chasm. And so, and this all started with Abdul Carter's tweet, right?
Yep.
Like, let's not this is not some, like, media creation. Like, a teammate of his, you know, went public with what was clearly criticism for him doing it.
And he had his own criticizing statements today with Jackson Dart, but he owned it. He said, Jackson can do what he wants, but I have to, for myself, say how I feel and say that I disagree.
Right.
So, like, it's news because two key players on a team in New York are talking about it.
Right. And so, look, first of all, you're exactly right. Like, there are guys from different walks of life who have been raised by different people with different values. I mean, I grew up in a conservative and, quite frankly, I'm in no way proud of this by any means, but racist household. And I went to the University of Wisconsin not ever having had a black friend. And I'm not now going to turn, oh, I got all these black friends, guy. But my point is that I had a very narrow worldview. I didn't have any Jewish friends. And the best thing that could have ever happened to me was the University of Wisconsin. Yep. Because now I have friends of all different creeds and colors and beliefs. And that doesn't change what my beliefs are necessarily. They're different than my parents were. But, like, I think there's value. What my point is that I think, in a locker room melting pot, mm-hmm. there is value in Jackson Dart maybe having these conversations with Abdul Carter and understanding why, hey, man, you can support who you want, but here's why I have a problem with it, or here's what this guy has done that I take issue with, and you can see maybe why I feel this way. Goes the other direction too, right? I mean, how you feel about abortion rights or whatever it might be. So these are all real-world things that guys do. And Tausch will tell you, guys talk about this stuff. And sometimes I'm sure it gets heated. I think there's other players that probably take the approach that are just like, look, I don't want to talk about this, right? I just don't. I don't want to try and convince you of my side. I don't want you to convince me of your side. I just want to play football. So it is an interesting dynamic. And why I think this story is so interesting is because it's spilled out into the public sphere.
Yep.
Right? If Abdul Carter doesn't make a comment of any kind, are there people that don't like the current president that say things about Jackson Dart? Sure. But nobody cares. Like, whoever the Jason Wilde and Mark Tauscher are in New York, Boomer Esiason or whoever else, like, whatever they say is fine,
yeah.
Right? But they don't play for the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody really cares what they say. This is significant because of what Abdul Carter chose to say.
Agreed. And I just find that it's just a little glimpse of what that dynamic is. I think people forget that they're human beings.
It's a peek behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Which we don't always get. Right, exactly.
Jason, awesome stuff. We appreciate you giving that insight.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. Take care. Be good.
That's Jason Wilde. This is Jim Matt Molly, presented by Coors Light.